Welcome to season 3 of Conversations with Coaches. This is a stakeholder-centered coaching production where we believe everyone deserves a stakeholder-centered leader. I'm Brandon Murgard, your host for the show. This season, we go deep into the case study library to discuss the real-life challenges of leaders and the coaches who help them succeed. As an added bonus, we're giving away the latest installment of our case study library, which includes case study summaries, show notes from each episode, and ways you can connect with the guest. Get your copy today at mgscc.net/case-studies. In this episode, we dive into the world of tech startups with Daniel Collins, a coach who's mastered the art of guiding CEOs through the exhilarating yet daunting phase of scaling. Daniel shares his insights on working with startup CEOs to not only scale the business, but also to strengthen team cohesion and enhance leadership capabilities. Join us as we explore the strategies that propelled a tech startup to success while maintaining its core cultural values. Come on in and let's find out more about the client.
We had a large resource company that had just come off divestment. And the leadership team and the leadership cohort had lost significant people that remained in the parent company. And the CEO was really challenged in getting and elevating all the leadership and gaining alignment around key results right through the business. So there was a couple of challenges that we needed to take on. Firstly, to help the CEO get alignment to results at all levels of the business, right down to leading hands who went underground, so it's very difficult work all the way down. But also too, was to help young men and women who hadn't had difficult conversations have coaching conversations around performance. So it was there was twofold. One, to gain alignment around results. But the second part was, hey, look, how can we provide or how can we have an environment or an ethic right through the business where we invest in difficult conversations to help each other be better?
And what kind of organization was this? Was this a manufacturing, a services?
Yeah, so really a large resource company that they're coal. And they sold coal both internally in Australia and globally. So a large resource company.
Wow. Okay. So when you say the frontline leading hand, you're actually talking about hands down in the mines, like digging coal up. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, and I got the privilege to working with them to go underground with a gang just to get an idea of the conversations. And it's amazing, right? Because you're 600-700 meters underground. And there was a couple of things that were really stark for me. The first one was, if you covered your headlight, you could not see your hand an inch in front. There's no light, absolutely no light. So that's kind of spooky for someone who's just coaching them, right? I'm just helping them. I'm underground. And then the second thing was, it was cool and peaceful, but until you got towards what they call the front line, where they're actually scraping coal off a coal face, and you could feel the release of heat because that's been trapped in the earth for in some instances for millennia, right? So when it's released and then brought to the surface, there's a lot of heat in the coal, so it got really warm at the front. So very difficult conditions for those people who are on the front line, and whilst machines do all the digging now, they're still working in very hostile environments. And communication and adherence to safety, adherence to standards, I really learned quickly was the key for them. So to get an understanding of their environment was absolutely brilliant. And then to cross-reference it with conversations that come about via stakeholder-centered coaching.
Wow. Brilliant. So would you say the conversations taking place in the mines were significantly different than the conversations there in the boardroom?
Much more direct because So if they don't get their communication right and the message right, then the consequences of that are stark. So if you're a leader, if you're a young leader, a leading hand, so a first-time leader, and you've got three or four people that you're leading, and if you don't get the messaging right and the standards right via your communication and seek great feedback around making sure everything is right, then the consequences of that are genuinely life-threatening. So tough environment.
Yeah, no kidding. My goodness. How big was this, like, in terms of headcount? How big was this organization?
Yeah, so 600, and they had between 60 and oscillated between, because they scale up and scale down, they had between 60 and 80 leaders on site over the course of the 4 years I worked with the business.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this was, my question was going to be, how did they get in touch with you? It sounds like this is someone you've worked with many times in the past.
Yeah, so I originally started just working with the executive team. And then, of course, when they were about a year after they were divested, on and off. And then I had a conversation with them that's where it went along the lines of, look, on off doesn't work. You need sustained feedback. You need sustained effort. You need sustained pressure to get the behavior change you want, and just not for your team, but all the way down. And they weren't getting the results that they wanted from the business. So, and a lot of those results came about because their leaders were under so much pressure, and they hadn't been armed with some of the right coaching. So, so of course the CEO then said, well, let's invest in that. And then that started a 2-year journey where we really drilled down on the concept of doing stakeholder-centered coaching and being able to do it and think about it at scale.
So when they reached out to you and said, Dan, like, this is a new project or initiative, how did they articulate that problem? Because you've got it very nicely packaged, getting alignment on key leadership principles top to bottom. How did they actually say it to you when you first had that conversation?
That's a great question. And it was piecemeal. So you got a little bit from people who were frontline and going underground and saying, hey, these are the issues we feel. And then there's sort of that middle management cohort that are above ground and managing the operations of the site, all the equipment. They had a different message, but kind of the same. It was around, we're missing communication, we're missing feedback. And then the executive team had, there was a genuine misalignment between the executive team in Brisbane and then the site in central Queensland. So there was a misalignment from that around what they thought should happen. And then, so I had to pull together some of the pieces and realize that there was just some misalignment right through the business. And then not behind that was the key function of communication, but more importantly, performance communication. So which fit right really nicely in my wheelhouse from my background. It's conversations that in micro moments to help us be better just right then and there. And I think that's where stakeholder-centered coaching is so powerful. It's their micro conversations. They can last 30 seconds. And it's so powerful because you give and seek feedback really quickly around the behaviors that you're after. And that was what was missing through the business, but also to alignment to results, because they had different, what they perceived to be the results. They were different. So if you're thinking, you know, these guys are here. So we needed to bring it all in under a couple of key things. So long answer, I know, but it took a bit of time to go, what's going on here? And we just got out and we just went out and spoke to people and had conversations with people around what they're finding their most challenging in getting the results that they thought they were after.
Yeah, it's amazing what you uncover when you just talk to people, right? This is a very, very simple solution to a simple problem. I've heard you use this word micro moments, which is something I'd like to get into a little bit. You've mentioned that before the call and here. Tell me a little bit about what a micro moment is.
If I just go back a little bit to my athletic career, when you're being coached as an athlete, it's not one catch up at the end of the week. It's, you know, so I bring this concept and combine micro moments with the stakeholder-centered coaching approach, right? So For me, I learned micro moments in from my coaching, from what being coached. And the slightest thing that was wrong when we were training, the coach would say something. Or the slightest notice of an improvement, he would say something, right? So you're getting this constant feedback where you're going towards what you're after, and the slightest movement off it, you correct it straight away. So those micro moments that are really strong in improvement and in success, and they breed excellence because you have conversations between us where you deeply care. I deeply care about your best and you about me, then we're always at each other, but in a spirited way. And that's what micro moments are. Those, you know, as soon as you notice something that's not quite right, you say it.
Beautiful. Sometime I'm going to knock on your door to pick your brain on the concept of micro moments, because this is actually, the term micro moments is deeply being called for in executive coaching research to understand how micro moments affect coaching outcomes. We'll have a separate conversation on that. But for those of you who are listening at home, while you're exercising, driving, Dan is being abundantly humble when he talks about his athletic background. He's an Olympic medalist. And when he's talking about coaching, he's not talking about, you know, buddy down the street who's giving me some pointers on my deadlift. He's talking about Olympic level coaching in the moment, right here, right now. This is the thing that you got to fix. So take on board what he's saying through that lens, because that really shapes our minds about what the contribution of a coach in the moment is. So Dan, thanks for...
And Brad, if I could just touch on that.
Yeah.
The underlying ethic is one of the things I love about the three ethics or three virtues that stakeholder-centered coaching. One of them is humility. Right? So for those micro moments to happen, I need courage to give them. And to receive them, I need humility. So there's this such great alignment to micro moments and some of the virtues around discipline, humility, and courage that you guys say that you need to be part of part of this process. You know, It aligns so well, really does.
Awesome. Well, tell me a little bit about how you approach this. So that you've got 600 people that you need to create alignment with. You know, we've got a one-on-one coaching process, a team process, but we don't have a 600 person process. So how did you go about this?
Yeah. So we'd grappled with this, it was really difficult and took a long time for me to think about and then invest in the thought of leveraging the stakeholder-centered coaching process through some form of technology, right? So we went down that track and invested in, well, we don't want to lose the personal touch that comes from the process, but we want to get stakeholders involved at scale to give feedback. So we thought about those two things and then, well, how do we make that work? And so we invested in some technology that's through an app that allowed the stakeholders to be informed and get involved, and we made sure that they were fully briefed on their role and so on and so forth. But for me to think about, firstly, setting up some leadership principles with the leadership cohort and then having those principles lived right through the business that aligned to results. So we went, first and foremost, sat down with... Once we decided to go down the technology route, right? So we've gone down the technology route. Then we sat down with the executive team and said, for us to get the results, what do the key principles need to be? And we designed some principles, leadership principles. Those then were talked about at each level of the business, each leadership level, around what are the key behaviors or habits that would suggest those leadership principles are being role modeled and lived. So we did that work. And that then plugged into behavior plans for every leader, right? So then we got this great alignment through the business. Everyone's aligned to key results. They've made the leadership principle at level for them meeting this behavior. And then that behavior is then communicated to their stakeholders. Their stakeholders then gave them feedback on that through and scored through our scoring system that we had to set up with a client. That process then came back to us. We sit down with the HR business partners in the business. So it's a really integrated approach, and talk to them about some of the guys are struggling, some are doing well. Who do we want to have coaching interventions with, and who do we want to just go, hey, you're doing great, keep up your good work. So that's, in a nutshell, Brandon, that was the process we went through. But we grappled with making sure that when you go to scale, you don't lose that personal touch. Like that's the thing that the guys want us to help them. They don't want to help them. You know, like they don't. It's us. So how do we use the technology to facilitate the feedback process, then get the data and the results, and then have good coaching conversation around those data and results?
Yeah, excellent. So you've got 600 people you need alignment with. You've got a few coaches to do it. So you've developed this app in conjunction with the client. It's going to build action plans, collect data, and tell you who's actually doing the work. Yeah?
Yeah. So the stakeholders... So, for instance, I might say, one of the behaviors might have been in around asking more questions than telling, right? So that might be one of the behaviors. You would introduce that to your stakeholders. The stakeholders would then score you on that on the app. We would get that information. And if you scored low on their scoring system, we would then have a conversation with, hey, how do we help support you to make sure that there's less tell and more ask from a coaching process. So it was a very much, so you never lost the personal touch, you never lost the coaching process, but it was very much performance based. And the stakeholders were so important because they helped give us the feedback needed to help our leaders elevate the behaviors and get them the results that we're after.
It sounds like a very efficient process. If I understand correctly, it sounds like you tell everyone, that you've got your area you want to develop. Here's the habits you need to work on. You need to tell people what you're working on, ask them for suggestions, share your action plan, and then people rate their performance on the action plan. And instead of spending a lot of time with one or two executives, you're investing your coaching time into, let's say scoring variations or low scores where people just need support to bring those up to maintain kind of a general state. How often were stakeholders scoring the leaders? Is this weekly, monthly?
Yeah, so we got into quarterly cycles that were split. So we did a 6 weeks. Every 6 weeks, the leaders received a report, a one-page report on and comments from their stakeholders based on their score. So they got they typed in their behavior plan, and the stakeholder receives that. So the stakeholder will receive, hey, this is what I'm going to do at these meetings. So the stakeholder is really aware of what the leader's trying to achieve based on their behavior plan. So it's really clear. And then when that feedback comes back, we would actually spend time firstly with their HR business partner, just going through the results. And then secondly, hey, look, who are the people we want to support the most here? So we would then move towards them to help them and support them be better within the process. And then there's those that we would role model and tell a little bit of a story about, hey, look, these guys are doing it really well. And this is what their stakeholders were saying. So we'd actually elevate some of the group as well, Brandon, which I thought was important because it paints a picture of, hey, look, this is what we're after. But at the same time, supporting those who are struggling with some of the concepts.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a great performance incentive. Like you are there as the leadership expert. If you go to someone and say, hey, you happen to be an exceptionally good leader, can I give you a little bit more to do and demonstrate just how good of a leader you are? I don't think many people would have said no to that. Is that fair to say?
No, yeah. they're all bought into that.
Yeah. Would you like to show off to your managers, or would you like not to show off to them? Like, it's up to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty easy. Yes. Well, fast forward here. Tell me what kind of results were you getting? What were you seeing from the leaders being being going through this program?
Generally, we got every 6 weeks. We did vary between 70% and 90% getting one decimal point shift. We had to use a scoring system that fitted with the client, so it was a 1 to 5. And generally over 6 weeks, we got one decimal point shift. And whilst that's, I think it's fantastic over a cohort, and you do that over 12 months, you see a significant improvement. The thing that I think, and this came through in all the comments, the thing that happened the most is the comfort with giving and receiving feedback and coaching around what's critical to the business changed. So at first, those conversations weren't happening, right? They just weren't. People were, that there wasn't the challenges in the day-to-day environment, those micro moments to make us better all the time. They weren't happening. Fast forward a year and a half, and the biggest thing that changed was those conversations were happening all the time. And if you were to enter that environment at 12 months apart, you would have seen a completely different and feel it, right? The energy's different. So when you have coaching at the center of performance improvement and the people have bought into that and giving and receiving feedback, those micro moments and openly seeking feedback from my stakeholders, you see the energy in the group lift, and it's lifting towards the results that we're after. So it's a very much a perform. I think stakeholder-centered coaching is a brilliant performance tool. And if it's systemized through a business or through a team, you get this energy lift. And I think that was more important than the scores, right? The culture changed. The culture of the business changed. And when we receive feedback from the business, that's what they say they've noticed the most. Mm-hmm.
Help me understand the scoring. So is this like a 1 to 10 scale of satisfaction? What's the scaling?
It's 1 to 5. And effectively, if you were 1 in their system, you made no effort to follow your behavior plan. If you were 3, there was a noticeable effort, but not a huge commitment. If you're a 5, there was change of behavior, commitment to the behavior plan, and they could noticeably change, see a change in the leader. So that was the scale we had, 1 to 5. And that fitted in with some of their other scoring systems. They didn't want to go away from, they already scored 1 to 5 inside their business. So they didn't want to go away from that. So we were happy to accommodate that.
And was this 2 separate questions about, are you doing your action plan and are we seeing change? Or was this 1 question, you know, are you seeing the change in doing the action plan?
Yeah, so great question. So there was a score on, do they notice, have they noticed any changes? But before that question is, how would you rate your leader's commitment to their action plan? And they knew it, so they would rate the commitment, and then they'd see, then do you notice any changes? And then they had a text box where they could type in, we asked them, what changes did you notice and what would you want your leader doing better next time? And they could type that in as well. And that report and the gap went as a 1-page report to every leader who was involved in the program. And you had 2 stakeholders. So 2 stakeholders scored you. So you had a bit of a cross-reference. You had to pick 2 stakeholders.
Okay. Okay, so we've got two, it sounds like there's 3 questions. Commitment to the action plan, are you noticing a difference? And then feed forward, feedback.
Yes.
Qualitative input. And when you talk about seeing a decimal change per 6-week cycle, was that largely in the commitment aspect or in the noticeable change aspect?
Good. Now, yes. So, it was mostly in the noticeable change. So one of the things that we got really early on, and I think it's because we set it up the particular way, and the CEO was really invested. So, and I think that's a real takeaway from anyone who's trying the system, is you've got to have the CEO and executive team really invested in the process. So he actually opened some of the workshops he opened some of the workshops to for and explained what they're trying to achieve from a leadership perspective, which got the we got the commitment right, but we as a whole, because there was a lot of newness to the process, a little bit of fear around it. It was a bit clunky in how they then rolled out their behavior plans. So the commitment was mostly there, but getting those behaviors right when you're underground or when you're under pressure, right? So that's the bit that it took a bit of work. The commitment, for the most part, for most people was there. We got some outliers that weren't great on the commitment right up the front.
Always, yeah.
Yeah, but for most part, because the CEO and the executive team were behind it, we got alignment really quickly, commitment really quickly, right? And then the work then was around the skill of them leading the way they wanted to. And given that most of us always have to work on our leadership skills, I don't think that's, I reckon that's a good place to be. So we started not having to get too much work around commitment, which was, and the scores suggested that. So that where we got the biggest increases was the skill of implementing their behavior plans. And that came from constant pressure of coaching, right?
Well, I mean, you know, in our research, that's what comes out, you know, literally like a ton of bricks. That was the crux of leadership as a contact sport. If you follow up with people on your action plan, and you follow up for suggestions, you're going to get better. In fact, if you don't get better, you're a statistical anomaly. But the opposite is not true. If you don't follow up with people, it's just less than a statistical coin toss whether you're going to be seen as better. So as coaches, if we can drive that commitment, we can be confident that when we walk away, they're going to continue in the habits that we've developed. So that's a very impressive takeaway. You know, what did you learn from this whole experience, building this app and scaling up to 90 leaders with just a few coaches?
Yeah, I think firstly, there's a little bit of self-reflection. Like I was really, I'll use the word scared. I was scared, could I deliver the quality of coaching to 80 leaders? Like it was bloody frightening, actually, to go, like, can I pull it off, you know, because we've got high standards, our little business, and we didn't want to drop the ball. I think so the first one, I had to do a bit of inner work. Do you know, like, get over yourself, Dan. Let's give it a go, and you'll work it out. And there'll be some failings, but you're good enough to overcome those. So I had to do a little bit of inner work around that. Then the second piece was around once the lessons for us was making sure we're always clear on the process with our client. At first I don't think we communicated enough because we were communicating like we were doing it on a small scale, whereas I think on a larger scale, you've got to beef up your comms. You've just got that interaction. Once there's more people, it gets more complex. So you've got to check in more often. So a key takeaway from us, we probably didn't communicate quick enough or early enough when we first started this process. So we learned really quickly to make sure that if we sense things or we notice things, to get on the phone and talk it through. And then the third lesson I would say, and this was a really big one, when we introduced a third party, which is our tech developer, getting the standards right of client care back to our client with them was something that we found really difficult. So we love our clients and we want them to love us, and we work hard on that relationship. So when you introduce a third party, if you're trying to use tech to scale this process, you've got to find someone and work with someone to get to your standards, so that when they're dealing with your client, because ultimately they will, they have the same level of client care that you do. Hard to do because they're not really their client, you are, but to impress upon them how important it is to make my client happy, because that's your thing, you know. So probably three big lessons: a little get over yourself a little bit at the beginning, and a little bit of inner work, you know. So that took a little time, and you know, communicate really well with your client if you're scaling this process. And then lastly, geez, make sure that you're hard-nosed at the beginning around the standards you want from your third party.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, these are the challenges when you go to scale. Stakeholder-centered coaching can scale. It can scale in incredible ways if you do it appropriately and work with the client like you did, as effectively as you did, to say, you know, here's what I do. Let's talk about what you do and where the intersection points are, how we can make this efficient, time, cost, and enjoyment for everybody. That really is important. And the issue of client care. Yeah, we have to be we're the one and only advocates for that. Now, you also mentioned that the client was abundantly or minimally sufficiently forgiving in the process. And that seems to also be a factor in setting up an effective, you know, techno-abled scaling of stakeholder-centered coaching. Is that correct?
Yeah. We were very open with them about this is our first run. I didn't want to go into them and say, hey, we're geniuses at this, because we weren't. So the integrity required to go, and that's, I think, why I had to do the inner work, because I need to go to them and effectively say, look, we think this process is amazing and it absolutely will help and you need it in your business, but we're novices at doing it for scale and you're going to have to be forgiving. So that conversation with the CEO was interesting. But the interesting part of that for me, when I presented it to him, he was really, well, we're going to start somewhere, do you know?
Yeah.
And I think, and again, I think because we were really truthful around what we're trying to achieve for them, but also to some of the things that we don't know and that we're working through. Look, we outlined what we don't know and that what things we needed to work through. When those things turned up as issues, when we can go back to them and say, look, we've got a problem here and we've got to work. They weren't happy. They weren't. Because in some instances it made them look bad, right? It did as leaders. So, but we worked through it and they could see as we worked through, particularly the first cycle, they could see some of the results coming. So the first quarter, and that helped them go, okay, look, this is clunky, but it's going to work. So, and once you've done it once, there's a capability for you then to do it at scale down the track.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first time, like anything, is really difficult, isn't it, Renan? You know, like that first
oh, yeah.
out. And having support from a client to try something, I'm very grateful for.
Yeah, I mean, you were a stakeholder-centered coach. You were applying stakeholder-centered principles in the process to say, here's what we're working on. Let's build this together. Understand there's going to be issues, and then you address them head-on as soon as they came. I think that's the most you can possibly ask for a brand new endeavor, as complicated as what you've taken on. So Dan, if I am an organization who wants to scale coaching internally, if I'm a coach who wants to learn how to scale it myself, how could I get in touch with you? How could I follow your story, reach out? Where would I go?
Yeah. So just email us dan@dancollins.com.au. And you can get in touch via our website, which is dancollins.com.au. So, I'm happy to receive an email. We've got a great little team. We're fairly responsive. So we'd love to hear from you if either of those from coaches who want to. And that for me, that I'd love to be able to help others to do this, because the world needs it. Absolutely. You know, like there's challenging to get an environment where we create winners at all levels of our business. It's you know, I think one of the things we could use is this process. If you're a business that wants to create alignment at winners or levels, then reach out to us on those as well. Dan@dancollins.com.au.
Daniel Collins offered a deep and insightful look into the intricacies of scaling a tech startup. Daniel's strategic approach to coaching and his focus on both business growth and team dynamics provided valuable insights for any leader in the fast-paced world of startups. We hope you're leaving today with actionable strategies to apply to your own leadership challenges. Remember, all the case studies of this season are available for download at mgscc.net/case-studies. The link can also be found in the episode description. And if you'd like to better understand the foundations of leveraging stakeholders and measuring results in your coaching, then join the free training program, Foundations of Stakeholder-Centered Coaching, where we share the philosophies and frameworks that guarantee improved leadership effectiveness in 12 months or less. You can register for the free course at mgscc.net/foundations-course. Until next time, this has been another episode of Conversations with Coaches by Stakeholder-Centered Coaching, where we believe everyone deserves a stakeholder-centered leader. Thank you for joining the conversation, and stay tuned for more stories of leadership transformation.